You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Beginning with verse number 20. Ephesians, chapter number 3. Beginning with verse number 20. You will find these words: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." I want to talk from the thought this morning, the blessing and the benediction. The blessing and the benediction. If we are to be honest today, most times the benediction is the time where most of us have already checked out. By the time the benediction comes, we're already thinking about dinner. During football season, most of us was thinking about the Lions game. Getting somewhere quickly to watch the game. Y'all might as well be honest today. Don't play me today. Most of us, by the time the benediction come, we're already out of church. We're probably thinking, I need to see so-and-so, or I want to talk to somebody. I need to get to the atrium. I need to do something by the time we get to the benediction. And I want to submit that in doing that, we miss the blessing that lies within the benediction. The benediction is the bestowing of a blessing upon the people. It is generally given at the end of a religious service. The benediction is an opportunity for us to come together one last time before we leave this place of listening and learning the word of God and get ready to go back out into the world. It's the last time that we will be together for the corporate worship for the week. And it's an opportunity not just for someone to pray. It should not just be formality, but it serves a purpose beyond just being on the program. The benediction. While it seems so insignificant, it is the last time we come together before we leave to praise together. Because if you really think about it, the benediction or the doxology that is giving is that of a praise unto the God that we serve. And so it's our last praise as we prepare to leave from this place. And I want to suggest to you that if the benediction is our last praise together before we leave, it ought to be a uniform and unified praise. It ought to be us doing it together. It shouldn't just be some of us or some of them. It shouldn't just be pastor. It should be us coming together one last time to say, before we leave this place and go into an evil, cruel, wicked world, we gonna glorify our God one more time together, because we need to praise him together. So the Apostle Paul, in a very unique fashion, gives us the benediction. This epistle is what is known to most scholars as a circular epistle, for it has traveled throughout Asia Minor. It is an epistle that is relevant to us all. And the Apostle Paul, in chapters number 1, 2, and 3, talks to us about what we believe. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, he writes to us about how we should behave. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul gives us a comprehensive look at what we should know. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, he writes to us about what we should do. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul is writing to us about doctrine. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, he's writing to us about discipline. But in between chapter 3 and 4, he gives to us the benediction. He does not wait until the end of chapter 6, but at the end of chapter 3, he gives us the benediction. And I must pause today because I'm trying to understand, Paul, why would you give us the benediction at the end of chapter 3 when you still got more writing to do? And when you look at the text, you'll soon discover that Paul pauses to give us the benediction because after you have given weighty information and weighty knowledge, you must pause for a moment and say, you know what, before you can go out into the world to apply this, you need a blessing over your life. Because I've given you some stuff that's going to be heavy. I've given you some stuff that's going to be trying. And can I tell you, when you leave this place, you're going to encounter some enemies and some trials and some tribulations. And you're going to need some praise on your lips when you leave here. Because you just cannot be full of doctrine and discipline and not know how to bless the God of your salvation. And so Paul pauses in the middle of his discourse and says, now unto him who is able. Look at what he says. He says, now unto him. He takes a moment. And he directs the attention of the people to God. He says, listen, I don't want you to get beside yourself and think that the praise is about you. I don't want you to get beside yourself and think that just because you're beautiful enough to keep yourself from trials and tribulation. I don't want you to think because you got a little money in your pocket, you can buy yourself out of everything you've been through or everything that's coming your way. He says, no, what you need to understand is now unto him who's able. Who is the him? He says, now unto Jesus, now unto God who is able to do exceedingly. Now unto the God who created heaven and earth. Now unto the God who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now unto the God who delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. Now unto the God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now unto him who is able. Who is able? Don't you know what able is? Able is a God. When the children of Israel had Egypt behind them, Pharaoh behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them, and Moses stretched forth his rod and the water receded, and the children of Israel went over on dry ground. He's able to make a way out of no way. He's able to open doors. He's able to do. Y'all playing with me today? Is there anybody in the sanctuary that know that God is able? Now unto him who is able, who has the power, who has the strength, who has the ability to change what you're facing. Now unto him. I come by here today to tell somebody you ought to have a now unto him type experience today. You dealing with some stuff and you need to look back over your life and say, now unto him who's able. How do I know he's able? Because if he did it before, he can do it again. Is there anybody in here he's delivered you before? He's opened doors before. He's made a way of escape for you. When you didn't have the money to pay your bills,
somehow he made a way for you. Is there anybody in Macedonia that can testify he's able?
It says, now unto him who is able. What is he able to do? If we're going to understand the passage, we've got to back up and look at verses number 14 and 15. Because I'm a text preacher. So Paul is praying. And as he's praying in verses number 14 and 15, this is what you see. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole earth, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Listen, he says, verse number 16, I might as well read it while I got you right there. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul is praying for them because he realizes the world is not going to be kind to them. If they are going to be, and the world is going to be cruel, and if they're going to survive the tactics and trials and tribulations of the world, they're going to need some strength. Not normal strength. Not LA Fitness kind of strength. Not strength from push-ups. Not strength because you're in. No, he says you're going to need some strength from the inner man. Can I help you out? You're going to need some Holy Ghost strength to get through some of the stuff you're going to face this week. You're going to need some Holy Ghost power. If anybody in here ever needed some Holy Ghost power, you ever needed God to do it, it wasn't about your might, but it was by the Spirit of God that you would change. It's by the Spirit of God that your situation changed. He says you're going to need some power. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I need Holy Ghost power every day of my life. I need the Lord to lead me and guide me, because it's some stuff I get myself into. It's some stuff that the devil is doing. It's some stuff that's out there. But if it had not been for God, I probably would have failed. But aren't you glad today that the Holy Spirit will keep you? He says, the inner man, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. I pray that you get some strength. Can I tell you, God don't need no weak, coward soldiers. God needs some folk with some strength. He needs some folk that's full of the Holy Ghost. He don't need you to be full of some other stuff. He needs you to be full of the Holy Ghost. He don't need you to be full of yourself and full of pride and full of arrogance, because that stuff is what the devil wants you to be full of. But God wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know once the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you shall receive power? Is there anybody in here? You got the Holy Ghost power. It says power. Prayer for power. Then notice, verse number 17, he prays for unusual stability. Help me, Jesus. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Okay. Oh, Jesus. What he said is, you need to be rooted in love, because what you're going to face, you won't be able to overcome if you don't have love. Okay. You can't knock everybody's head off. You can't cuss everybody out. You're going to have to learn how to love some people through the bad times. You're going to have to learn how to love people through them talking about you. You're going to have to learn how to love people through them throwing bombs at you and names at you and talking about you. But don't you know you got to be rooted? So here it is. It is an unusual stability, because it is in human nature that when somebody mess with you, you want to put your dukes up and get back at them. He said that ain't how we do it. We are patient, kind, long-suffering, and gentle with people who despitefully use us. I know I ain't gonna get no amens right there, but I need to tell you right now, it's not about you fighting back, it's about you loving back. When they get on your nerves at work, learn how to love them a little more. When you go home and it's tough, learn how to love a little more. In every situation, it's an exercise for you to build your love. Paul says, listen, I pray because I need you to be stable in love. You cannot be fickle. You cannot be fake. Because the truth is, we live in a real world and we deal with fake friends. We got real enemies and fake friends. And Paul says it's going to be some people that really talk about you and they supposed to be your friend. It's going to be some folk that you thought had your back, but the whole time they were stabbing you in your back. It's going to be some folk that you told your secrets to that it really wasn't that secretive. It's going to be some folk that you thought you can go to and y'all can confide in each other, but baby, they was like a broken refrigerator. They couldn't keep nothing. And so if you don't have love in your heart, you will retaliate. But don't you know you ain't got to retaliate, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He says, I pray that you would have unusual stability because you're rooted. This ain't the normal in love. Okay, I'm pressing. When you read in your own personal perusal of the text, he says in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. Then he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly. I must tell you that this passage is beautiful because he says, now unto him who is able. In order to know what God is able of, that means he has already had to do it or show some form that he has the power to do it. So the text is past tense because he says, now unto him who is able. He was pointing back to what God had already done because God hadn't done it for them yet. Okay, you missed it. He had not did it yet because they were still in the sanctuary. You missed it. It wasn't Monday at work when he said it. They were still in church when he said it. And he says, now unto him who is able to do it. See, what y'all missing is God might not solve the problem today, but on tomorrow he's still able to do it. You might as well give him glory while you're in the sanctuary because he's able to do it. You might as well praise him in advance because he's able to do it. Don't you know he's able? Don't you know he can still open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears? Don't you know he's able? Text says, now unto him who is able, Paul points back to what he did do, but the word is makes it present active. Okay. It means that today, the God who could do it yesterday is still able to do it today. Y'all missed it? That means I don't have to live in fear that God won't supply my needs today. For I know the God I serve will take care of me not just yesterday, but today also. Is there anybody in here? You can celebrate God for the fact that you know he's able right now. He can turn it around right now. While you in church, he can be fixing it. Is there anybody in here crazy enough to believe that he's still able right now? Says, right now, he's able. He's able to save your children right now. He's able to fix your marriage right now. He's able to change your health right now. He's able to save your soul right now. Some of y'all wait until tomorrow to catch it, but he's a right now kind of God. He's able to do it right now. Is there anybody in here that know he's able right now? I don't know how you feel about it, but I got some right now stuff I need. And I know the God I serve is able. Even if he don't do it, I still know he's able. Says, now unto him who is able. Okay. I searched this because Paul bothered my nerve. Because he didn't say, now unto God. He says, now unto him. Paul, why didn't you say now unto God? And if I could put a pen right here, it's because some of us have been now unto somebody else. Yeah. Some of us been leaning to some people who can't change our stuff. Yeah. Some of us been leaning on some stuff that won't change our circumstance. The lottery ain't gonna fix it. Yeah, that quiet right there. Y'all felt that, didn't you? It was right there. Yeah, it ain't gonna fix it. It's some stuff that you've been going to try to change and sustain you, but it's not gonna work because it ain't him. It's not the God of your salvation. It's not the God who sent his only begotten son into the world to save your soul. It's not gonna work. So he says, now unto him. Don't get it twisted. It ain't about you. It ain't about them. It's him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think. Okay. Here it is. The text is a problem. And I want to see if I can unpack it in the next minute or so, if it'll be the will of God for our lives. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Why exceedingly? Why abundantly? Why above? If we're talking about the power of God, one word would have been enough to describe it. Why three? Exceedingly means to go above and beyond. When he says abundantly, he says it's going to be full. When he says above, I'm going to go above measure. Okay? What he's in essence is saying is this: I'm going to give you so much that you would not have room enough to receive it. Your mind can't even fathom what I got in store. Now unto him who's able to blow your mind. Y'all missed it. That was a good place to shout. Now unto him who's able to blow your mind. Now unto him who's able to do what you couldn't even think of. Now unto him who's able to do what hadn't even entered into your mind. Now unto him who's able to do what has not even been written. Now unto him. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. Here it is, and I'm gone. Unto him be glory in the church. Okay. Unto him be doxa in the church. For doxa is the Greek word for glory. Okay, let me translate it. To him be praise in the church. To him be honor in the church. I got to pause right there because I don't want you to miss it. When you study this passage, there is two tenses here when it says church. It is talking about the corporate worship, and then it's talking about us as individuals. To him be glory in here. Y'all missed it. To him be glory right here. That simply suggests when you think about the goodness of Jesus, there ought to be glory right here. There ought to be a praise that breaks out right here. There ought to be some thanksgiving that happens right here. To him be glory in the church. Is there anybody in here? You're not too selfish on a Sunday afternoon to give God the glory that is due his name. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Is there anybody in the sanctuary? God has been good to you. Watch it. He says, to him be glory in the church. Now watch it. It is not just the building, because we cannot be so occupied with the building when we come here, and when we come to church, we church so much that when we leave, we don't become the church. So what he said is, it should be glory in here. Yeah. And when you get in your car and you turn the engine over, it should still be glory. When you go to work tomorrow, it should still be glory. To him be glory in the church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If he delivered you, if he saved you, it ought to be some glory in this place. If he made a way out of a no way, there ought to be some glory in this place. Watch it. I'm pressing. Because if you read the Bible, I'm a text preacher. Read it. It says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. Okay. Here is the blessing and the benediction. That he's able to do it. Y'all should have been shouting right there. If y'all was looking for something deep, that's about as deep as it's going to get. You ought to shout because he's able. The blessing is, no matter what comes after today, God is still able. No matter what the trial is, he's able. Now watch the end of the text. Pastor, I'm gone. Watch it. Watch it. He says, that every generation ought to be able to praise him. Y'all missed it. Every generation, from the babies on up, ought to be able to give him glory. Everybody ought to praise him for what he has done, for who he is. But most importantly, you ought to give him glory because one Friday on Calvary's cross, Jesus died for your sins and mine. Is there anybody here? You know he died until the sun refused to shine. He died until there was a shaking and a quaking. Don't you know he died? They put him in a ball too. But bright early, early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. You ought to give him glory because by his power, we're still here. By his grace, we're still here. Is there anybody here? No, he's worthy to be praised. Let everything, I said let everything, have breath, praise him. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. Is there anybody here thankful for the blood? Say it. Say it. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.